On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some steins of Lagertown as we talk about Phobab, the closing of Fountainhead, and GABF. All that and more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And last week, we got kind of silly off of a 4.7% beer.
I got nothing. I felt the effects of it, which was kind of weird. And I asked about the ABV, and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought it was like 6. No. And now we're going to, you know what, we're going to double down and raise the ABV here.
Oh, man.
With a 5.8% lager or Oktoberfest from Half Acre.
I mean, we're still in season. I think it ends Sunday, right? The real Oktoberfest in Munich.
Oh, okay.
So this only makes sense.
Yeah. And I got my Argus Stein. Nick's rocking the White Sox Stein. But I feel like your Stein is not up to snuff here.
Why is your Stein so big, man?
I don't know.
God.
Go big or go home.
Why are you Stein shaming me, bro?
So, well, we did the math that it should be, was 32?
I think it was, yeah, 33. Yeah, right.
So basically two 16-ounce cans to fill up our Steins here. So, but see, yours is a half Stein.
I'm already maxed out.
So you have to double down on it.
In true Half Acre fashion, there's a night.
You could just double fist your Steins and have a Metro Stein with it.
Yeah, and then I'd be ready. There's a pig and there's an owl on the fucking Lagertown.
And this is more, the Lagertown is a darker, I feel like, Oktoberfest then, right? Or is that?
Well, it's a Marzen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's on par with that, but it's for sure got a nice, rich color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know if the ones in Germany are that dark. It's really dark.
Yeah.
Last time I had it, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I just picked these up from the brewery. So went over there. They have an amazing pickup thing where you just kind of walk up. Someone sees you. You tell them your name. They set it on a little table out there. And then you can, after they leave, you can walk up and pick up your beer.
So you're what, Balmoral? Were you in Lincoln?
I went to Lincoln.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I got this. I got some Fader. I picked up some Zor.
The hell is
which
that?
Is a pale ale.
Going all the way. I'm going to try to fit maybe a fourth of this second one
in my
White Sox Stein, even though they broke my heart and lost in the first round to the fucking A's. But
Nick is wearing all White Sox gear here.
Dude, I haven't got my lucky White Sox hat. I don't want to talk about them.
Trying to cheer him on here, but
no, first, you know.
Now we're going to drown our sorrows. Or I'll drown with you.
Oh, man. Cheers, bud.
Cheers.
All right.
Man.
I noticed them. That's nice. I was listening to last week's ep, and I was like leaning in too close to the mic. So I'm trying to not do that this week. Yeah.
All right, so Half Acre. We've both had Lagertown before. It's been around for a while. I feel like maybe the first time I had it was at a festival.
Okay.
Yeah. And when it was at the steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. This is West Loop, just right behind Beer Bistro.
Yeah, that was. I feel like the first time I was introduced to Lagertown.
Man, it seems like forever ago. Festival always closed out the summer. It was one of the last parties of the summer. But then also, Beer Bistro is no longer here. I don't think they're still doing. Are they still doing Festival? Well, they definitely didn't do it this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I believe Heather took it back over. So
yeah, if I got this right, it was the warehouse for the Sullivan Steakhouse. I think that's right.
It was Michael's?
No. Was it Michael's Steakhouse?
Was that a place? Carmichael's.
There it is.
Carmichael's.
It's Carmichael's Steakhouse. it was the warehouse for them.
Yeah.
And then they turned that joint into condos. You know, West Loop, that makes sense.
Right.
But for that one moment, like I say maybe 2 years, it was as cool a party, I think, as I've been to. Because everybody got dressed up and shit.
I felt so underdressed when I went, because I'm going to a beer event. These people are going to a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah, the fundraiser crowd meets the beer crowd.
And I won the beer one year.
I forgot about that. You won the Tower of Beer?
It was so much beer. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, you had to bring it to the annual Loose Keys party, right?
Yeah, well, we had it at the old office, and we just kept going through it as we could, but you start to hit a wall there as you're in some of the large format things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good vibe.
But we got a lot to talk about this week, so we better get talking because we're gonna forget here. Yeah. Where should we start? Let's start with the sad news of we're talking about Beer Bistro, Fountainhead.
It's starting to feel like old Chicago, right? Like things that, well, parties, you miss the parties, and then now these actual venues are closing, and that's, you know, that sucks. Mm-hmm. Fountainhead announced today that November 14th is their last day, and they are closing up shop, bud.
Fountainhead has been a craft beer, staple since that last wave that came in with Metro, and any brewery wanted to be there. They were just a craft beer haven.
So, yeah.
They were on par, maybe not as like classic as Map Room and Hopleaf, but they were like the next tier or next group.
I'd have to agree. I spent my birthday at Fountainhead once. So this is Lincoln Square, walking distance from the original Half Acre.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, really big, large format program, like vintage beer program, large format program, ton of whiskey, and then the fucking rooftop.
Right.
Rooftop was killer.
I had never been on the rooftop.
Never went on a rooftop?
I never went on the rooftop. Always heard how good it was. I had only been to Fountainhead maybe a handful of times.
Yeah. I think in the last maybe, I'd say, handful of years, they kind of expanded because Cletus was there as the exec chef at one point.
Yeah, because after his sandwich shop closed down.
Also in Lincoln Square, right?
That place was good, but the sandwiches were like $25.
It's, you know.
They were good, but.
I mean, yeah, how do you justify a $25 sandwich? You know, you do it once.
Some meat on some bread. I don't know.
I don't, you know, as sustainable as it might have been, you know, it's like, come on, what are we doing here? Yeah, so he left there to go to Fountainhead. Oh, but they opened a market, which kind of emulated his sandwich shop concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it sounds like both the market and the bar are donezo after 10 years, 10-year run.
10-year. Mm. They said just after the rooftop season or outdoor patio season is ending, they don't see a way moving forward with the current restrictions and limitations that are going to be in effect probably all winter.
Yeah, they made it clear that they are not selling off their vintage beer or the whiskey.
What are they doing?
This sounds like they're just going to hunker down until...
until it's gone?
Until days are less stormy, and we're just going to try to... It's a reboot. Oh. It sounds like they're hopeful for a reboot the same way Fire Rabbit was.
Oh, yeah. So they may have a different space at some point.
Yeah.
So someone's just going to keep it in their garage or basement.
You know? Or something.
Okay.
If you change your mind, you know, I'm eyeing the whiskey more than the beer, but
just go one of those days and be like, how much to take one of these out with me?
You know, just do like what's fair is that these crews that are offloading some of their product, they're charging the same price they would per shot at the bar, which is still less than secondary. So I'm in still, if that's what we're doing. You know, you're still spreading your cheeks a little bit, honestly. It's a stiff fucking price, but it's not secondary. Okay. So I'm still in.
Yeah, I think they should. And a lot of places, especially if I don't think they have any wine, but a lot of restaurants were selling wine because that is something that is going to have a harder time coming back. So get it to the people.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, Fountainhead, 10 years old, Like you alluded to, like whenever I first started drinking beer, that was one of the destinations. I think the Fountainhead, Barón Buena, Map Room, just like cemented already as beer destinations in 2010 when I probably first had my first craft beer.
Yeah. But I would always, honestly, I would go to Half Acre if I was over that way.
Yeah.
And just, it was not always a stop. I knew it existed and people loved it. The last time I was there was 2016, and we watched the election there.
Oh, shit.
Alarmist was having a, they had a thing, and they had events. We were watching it. It was the worst experience. I had no interest to go back to Fountainhead after that, like, moment, and I learned that I will never watch another election outside of my home.
I remember that night. It was just kind of eerie, and, you know, actually, there was a brief period in my life where I drove Uber for, like, 3 months, and I'm like, I can't do this. I like to drink. I can't drive the Uber while I've been drinking. I'm done. But I happened to be driving election night, and it was very eerie, the handful of people I picked up.
Yeah.
Super fucking eerie. I had to listen to it, and it was just, like, a creepy vibe, even from the beginning, when because he took a lead pretty early.
Yeah, I would think when we were there once Wisconsin and Michigan fell, basically everyone knew it was over, but there was lots of hope still from people. And then we had other friends roll up who were drunk because they were out somewhere else and they were coming over. And we're like, they're like, it could still happen. We're like, no.
It's game over, bud. How the fuck y'all let a dude that's never held any office against, you know, she was Secretary of State, I think.
She was a lot of things.
Who was her VP? I forget.
Not Herman Cain, but there was a Cain. It was a Cain. So it was this guy from Vermont.
Okay, that came up the other day, and I wasn't sure who it was.
That's how just pointless that guy was.
But I mean, yeah.
He's still around.
So, you know.
But yeah, so that was my last time at Fountainhead. So maybe there's a different outlook that's coming because Fountainhead's going away, but yeah.
You know, Fountainhead, man, you know, Chris Jacobson from Hardcore, one of his early events was he was basically a pastry stout station where, you know, you get the French roast.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just make adjunct stouts on the spot, right? Alchemy stations or something, he called them, right? So he did that for Cletus, because Cletus was making beers with, like, he hadn't made so many beers, he had a takeover at night.
Oh,
it was like the 12 days of Cletus or something.
Oh, that's right. I remember Chris Jacobson talked about that when he was on one of the episodes.
So I remember that, and I remember, there was a Sumerian beer dinner. They recreated the world's first beer. So this was Great Lakes and the University of Chicago.
Oh, cool.
So Pat Conway, who started Great Lakes, he's from Chicago, and he went to the University of Chicago. So they spent a year in, like, the Mesopotamian region. They come back with all these artifacts. It was really more like it was like a history dinner.
That's cool.
You know, and so that was on the rooftop at Fountainhead. And then every year they do a really cool German thing every year with, like, a German polka band and, like, full regalia with the gigantic horns made carved out of wood, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So those are some of the memories that come to mind when I think of a Fountainhead.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're going to see more restaurants close here coming up into the winter because that season is already slower for everyone. So if you did not make bank over the summer, you have a hard time. In the winter, you don't know what to expect. We could have a mild winter. We could have a bad winter. And you're going to be at 50% capacity because today, as we're recording this, rules got changed. So bars can now be back open, right?
That's right. Yeah. Bars can open at, 25% capacity or 50 people, whichever is smaller.
Right.
Right.
And then you cannot order at the bar now in Chicago. There is only table service, which I guess I understand it limits people from moving around as much. You only have the servers kind of moving around.
You know. And then you got to close out. If you go to the bar and close out, you're interacting again. You
know? Right. So that way, and you're still limited to 2 hours of drinking time.
That's good. These are good things. I mean, not good for business.
No, not good for business.
But there are, on everybody's socials, on everybody's socials, there are full-on fucking, like, nightclubs and strip clubs. And
oh, really?
They're fucking packed, and it is as if nothing is going on. So you kind of, we talked about it. You have to have these fucking rules. You just have to.
Yeah. I'm good. It's October 1st. It's, this kind of started in March.
Yeah.
What, 8 months in, 7 months? I'm okay right now. I don't know. There was a moment there where I was like, I got to do something. And now I'm like, I don't know. It's cold.
It took a while to get adjusted. Yeah.
I miss events. But I don't really, I miss having a beer at a bar, but I don't really miss it that much that I have to have. I miss events more, especially because the show is about events and going to things. So
I'd have to agree. Yeah. And the digi version of the fest and the takeout version of your favorite restaurant, it's just not the same.
Right.
So it makes you miss it even more, honestly. Well, I'm torn. Part of it is like, all right, cool, there's at least a slice of normalcy. Like with the Sox fucking up in the playoffs, it's like, well, at least I got to watch the games even if I wasn't there. So a little bit of both for me.
I like all the take home cocktail things that you can have. People have the pre-mixed cocktails, and sometimes you can either they're already made or you can add the booze. They're like, this is the cocktail mix. You add one shot of whiskey and one shot of this, and you have the drink. So that's fun that didn't exist before.
Seeing everybody pivot and be serious about it has been kind of exciting, right?
Like
the human spirit, the American spirit on display. Like, hey, this is our only path, and we're going to do it, Like, seeing that has been pretty exciting. Just under fire, changing direction, under fire. That's cool. But, yeah, man. The last time I saw Dick Cutler was at Half Acre at Balmoral, and he was drinking the Lagertown.
Because he
wanted nothing to do with – he's like, if you make beer, if you say you can draw a picture, draw me a fucking horse. Give me the lager. And if that's not good, I'm not going to try any of these other cool things you got on your fucking menu.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good last Dick Cutler story.
Just hanging out at the bar. I'm like, there's a seat next to him. I see him. I pull up to the bar and, just kind of yak it up. So that's cool. I went to Peace yesterday.
Oh, you did? Pick up?
I got the honey butter fried chicken.
Okay.
Pizza. And then I got a growler of the, what do you call it? So a new beer, a haze.
Okay.
Metal Steve's first beer.
And did we talk about that Jonathan Cutler left, right? I don't remember if we did.
No, I don't know, because there was like a brief mention in like Eater or some shit.
Right.
But no one's talking about it. So
this is a big deal. It's a big deal, and then it's a bigger deal where he may end up if he stays in Chicago.
Yeah, and I think at Peace, it's probably early 2000s, maybe even earlier, right? For Peace as a brewery, pizzeria. Mm-hmm. And then him, and they'll tell you, it's all over their website about how many awards they've won.
Right.
I think if there's a retirement ceremony or Jonathan's leaving, that would be there would be a celebration for that.
That would have been probably the biggest party.
That's the reason to party,
Yeah.
That's a block party. You shut the whole block down. It's fucking Jonathan Cutler.
And I'm sure a lot of their beers, they've been brewing for a decade now. So I'm sure that recipe is set. So someone coming in there and being like, oh, we got dysfunction, right? Yeah, isn't that one of them?
Camel toe.
Camel. Here's the recipe.
Moose knuckle. Moose knuckle's my jam.
People can do them.
Yeah.
But those, new beers and the things that maybe, I don't know, it's tough to say if people are going there for the beer or the pizza. I would go there for both.
It's I think at its core for the neighborhood is probably a sports bar / pizzeria. Right.
Right. So,
but for us, it's a brewery that happens to make a pizza.
Yeah, but now not being able to go there, I have picked up once because I like Peace Pizza and I haven't got beer. Yeah. But I like Peace Beer, but I would go that would be a bar I would go to just for the beer, and the pizza was like a secondary, all right, I guess I'll get pizza, I'm here.
Exactly. Secular Haze is what Metal Steve's Haze was called. 6.5% Mandarina Bavarian Citra hops. So, I don't know. Not my jam. Just kind of like a little, I don't know, a little sulfur, a little veggie, a little vegetal. I was like, I don't know. Haze is tough, though, because haze is like the go-to version of IPAs in the fridge. So yeah. It's like, you know, there's Hop Butcher, there's Phase 3, there's Hefeaker, there's all this other shit. So it's like, kind of, you know, you pick it up. If you have a sip, you're like, all right, you had one sip. And if I don't want a second sip, I think we're out.
Right. I got these other guys.
I think we're done here.
Good things.
So it was tough. That was tough. But what was tougher was, like, you talk to the guys and you're like, hey, this is Metal Steve's new beer. They cut it, retire. You know, you throw that out. And there's no direct answer. It's kind of like, oh, well, we don't. You know, management's been kind of hush about it, right?
Yeah.
So this kind of speaks to, like, all right, this don't sound like a clean split, you know?
Ooh, okay. And then this beer isn't up to the quality you would expect from maybe other peace beers.
Yeah, right? It's like you drink a peace beer, and the beauty of it is, like, well, A, it's a classic style in most cases, right? And then B, you don't really have to worry about it. You just drink it. It's always easy. It's always delicious. You don't really have to. You're not dissecting it.
Peace beers move. What I love about peace beers is you don't have to think about it. You don't have to dissect it. They move to the, they get out of the way if you want pizza. They get out of the way to have conversations.
Exactly.
To do karaoke.
Yeah.
Whatever like needs to happen, pieces beers are there to like enhance the experience and not get in the way.
I made a fool of myself doing Sunshine of Your Love, a Cream song. Yeah. Reading off my phone because, you know, it's an old ass song. They didn't have it on the book.
Yeah.
One night. Yeah. But yeah, that was my peace run. So it was kind of surprising. I don't know.
But that's one reason I think I love Half Acre so much. A lot of their beers, you don't have to worry about. You don't have to think about. But then they have like that other end where it's like you want to talk about these, the Ben Thicks, the. Everything else, Big Hugs, everything else. But it's like the Faders, the Lager Towns, the Bodam.
This is fun, this Fader. It's my first time having it. I like the gold cap and, you know, all white backdrop. I like what's in it.
Yeah.
Chicago Premium Lager Beer. I'm in on that.
In a 12-ounce can, because I need some 12-ounce cans in the fridge. You can't have all 16-ounce cans.
We can't be doing that shit, man. You
know? So we started to talk about festivals and how we miss them. And there are two big ones. One we didn't talk about last week that we need to touch on, but the Great American Beer Festival, right?
Yeah, man. Great American Beer Fest is going digi. It's the it's going to be America's largest digi fest, man. So this will be October 16th and 17th, just kind of just like old times.
Right, because this would be going on, I feel like I've been seeing, I saw Beguile, I saw Alarm, they posted pictures of their awards. It would have happened because that one year it happened during the Oak Park Microbrew, so it would have happened. The Great American Beer Fest would have already happened, right?
I think you're right. I'm going to say yes.
So I think it got pushed back a little bit, but yeah. Anyway.
So this is the 39th version, and then it's going to be 2 days online. And so there's two components. You can buy a passport, and then the passport gives you access to on-site deals at participating breweries. So there'll be 900 breweries nationwide from all 50 states, and then there'll be the competition just like always. But what the passport gets you is access to, like, these exclusive, like, events that you can dial into.
Oh.
Right.
But they don't – what do they get you to a beer hat? Do you get access to beers at the breweries or places?
It doesn't sound like you get access to beer, but if you buy the passport, you get let's read this and make sure we understand. Because it doesn't sound like you need the passport to get the beer. Like, your local brewery will have a deal of some sort that week to celebrate the fest.
Okay.
If they are a participant in the fest, they'll have a deal that week and that you can get, like, a discount on beer.
Okay.
So let's look up Illinois, shall we?
All right.
$350 brewing. If you're a passport holder, you get 15% off your bill.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So that's a benefit of the passport.
Yeah.
that the only brewery doing it?
No, there's 900, man.
Oh, we'll in Illinois?
No, we'll select Illinois. Let's see. 900 total. All right, so Art History Brewing in Geneva, Illinois? What the hell is that? We'll start with Brad's favorite brewery, Ballast Point Brewing.
I'm rocking our hat.
Oh, it's, dude. You got the Beer Pass hat?
Yeah, it's the Chicago Beer Pass.
It's black on black. I didn't see it. Yeah. So they got a rye whiskey barrel-aged bottle that you can buy for $15.
Okay. Give me something I'm going to go to.
And then you get 10% off merch.
What's happening at? Yeah,
two beers for $25.
What's happening at Half Acre or Alarmist?
Okay.
Or maybe Forbidden Root. I might go there.
Fair.
I'm not going to Ballast Point.
Forbidden Root, $8, $8 flights and 20% off merch.
How is anyone doing a flight? Does flights exist in COVID times?
These all sound like you got to hang out. Hailstorm's doing a free draft pour and half off a growler.
Okay.
Haymark is doing $4 pints.
I don't want to.
Wait, let me.
I want to have a Ditchy Fest and go home and safely.
Haymark is doing $4 off of Awesome Craft beer pints, is what it says.
Awesome Craft beer pints.
Or Steve Hollow's giving you half off a sampler. All this shit is suggesting that you have to hang out there.
Okay.
Which they want you to do because they want you to tip. They don't want you to.
They want you to drink more and have more. If I am participating in a DigiFest, I am doing it because it is unsafe to be at the festival, right?
Correct.
So why is it any safer to be at the breweries drinking?
No fucking clue. But the passport is $20, and $20 unlocks all these deals, is what it sounds like.
And you should be going to these breweries and paying full price for this beer
because they
are way down in sales. Although drinking is up, I think it was like up 30%. Alcohol consumption is up 30% from year over year. But these breweries are hurting still. They're, just because people are drinking more doesn't mean they're getting more money.
There's a lot of truth in that. Yeah. I tell you, man, does this sound like rock and roll? I mean, you get to your $20 and it unlocks these deals to places where you should be going to spend money anyway, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
But then the $20 gets you, well, the competition's open to the public. Now, that'll be on October 16th. And then, you know, if you buy the passport, you get access to exclusive content, whatever that is, for the Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
But it sounds like that's about it.
And the exclusive content, I don't know, some people love it, some people, whatever, it's fine. You can enjoy these festivals any way you want. But the awards are the most important thing.
Yes.
At GABF. If you didn't go to GABF just to get housed, you went for the awards
because
you want to like go support. You either are there as the brewery, you're there as a fan. But so the awards are the most important thing.
That's true. I think if you went to Denver, you know, you get there and you hit up all the Denver breweries. But then the GABF, the floor is an afterthought. It's kind of a shit show. It's like drinking at, you know, Union Station or Ogilvy Station at rush hour, right? Okay. It's a mess. But then it's all the parties around it that are the draw.
Right.
So, but the there's a ton of virtual fest speakers that you get access to for the 22.
Okay.
So.
No, I'm good. I'll just listen to probably the free live stream of the award announcements, and that'll be good.
You know, I think that's what I did. If you're not in Denver, that's what you do anyway. Saturday morning, you wake up. And you know, it's like it's the Oscars of beer.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like the last year, the day these were happening was the day I drove out to Metal Monkey.
Okay. Because that's
Old Irving won, and I was like, well, I'm driving back home. I gotta swing by there and pick up some Beezer in case it sells out real quick.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I remember listening in the car, driving around.
We're the defending Fest champs, the biggest category, hazy.
Mm-hmm. Beezer's gold. I'm sure it'll be way bigger this year.
Yeah. So the oldest, largest fest in the country, is going Digi.
Do you think, if you had to put money on it, would Illinois win Hayes again?
Well, it's been 2 years in a row, right?
Right.
Man, rolling. And those are interesting beers because they're not just they're not just grapefruit or orange bombs. Like they got a little more character. So, and it came out that they're all kind of using the same yeast, right? Because the name escapes me of the yeast house. That's Omega.
Yeah.
Which closed, I think.
Oh.
Remember, that's what Bulldog was saying.
Oh. Okay.
And then because there was no announcement, Bulldog kind of mentioned that they were closing. Mm. I'm like, oh shit. And okay. You go to their website, and the website says we're done.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
When you look at it like that, it's like it becomes a peace thing, right? Like the peace took pride in bringing these classic beers, meeting all the specs, getting them in early, right? And going out of your way to make sure it was fresh as possible. Like, putting care into it and repeating that process every year. And that's why they win every year. It's a little bit like that.
I feel like there's going to be a bunch of stuff when everything's said and done and the dust is settled. People are going to be like, wait, what happened to that? Why is this different? Where'd that go? Like, oh, didn't you hear the little quiet announcement? This happened. This weird stuff.
We had Jonathan Cutler on the show, right? And not only is
brought
it
like 10 growlers.
Yeah, and they've won, probably the most important brewery in modern Chicago beer history. It deserves more than what it's getting from the brewery.
Yeah.
Eater Chicago is as cool as they are. I love that the frequency of their content. They shouldn't. There was a one little bullshit ass line in a story about closings that said, "Oh, Cuddy's out of peace." It deserves more than that,
Yeah. So, I bet he ends up Revolution. Does he go to Revolution?
Yeah,
feels like a friend there. Maybe he goes and saves Finch.
The perch? He enjoys the perch. That'd be like Tom Brady going to fucking Tampa Bay, which he did. It'd be like MJ. MJ went to the Wizards 1 year.
Yeah.
MJ was an all-star 2 years with the Wizards.
I'm down for that. Let's see it. Let's do it.
But he's a lifer, right? Like, I can't imagine this is retirement. I imagine this is just the beginning of something else. You would think.
So is Jonathan Cutler our MJ of the beer MJ? His dad died. He leaves his thing that he loves. Whew.
I can't imagine.
He goes make cider for like a couple of years and then comes back to beer.
He does what we all thought Goose would do. I thought the Goose thing when they sold was just like, all right, we're just going to slow down and we're just going to start a new brewery in like 4 years.
Right.
But then apparently Greg Hall had a deal where he had a non-compete, so he couldn't start a new brewery for like 3-4 years or whatever. And when that ran out, instead of starting a brewery, he just signed another deal saying he wouldn't start a brewery.
Okay.
At least that's, this is all drug history, but that's what I remember.
And then his son's like, you know what? I'll just start a cidery. Brewery be damned.
So.
All right. So that's the one DigiFest happening.
Yeah.
The other one is FOBAP got announced today that we're recording this.
Yeah.
We have been speculating on this. I don't know if we've speculated on camera.
I think it was the Thundertaker and the Orin. All in one night.
Was it the after show of that? Of us like, blah, 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 screw this.
Like, you know what they need to do? That's how it always starts.
Yeah.
Like, no one asked me, but this is what they need to do.
So, what are they? There is still a FOBAP. There will still be awards. There is still judging. But no one can go to it.
160 breweries from across the nation. 300 beers. And, 12 categories, and judging will take place.
Okay.
So there will still be a competition.
Okay.
But there won't be a fest. So this is an interesting turn. So the judging will take place November 12th and 13th at Hailstorm in Tinley Park.
Hmm.
So that's the site for judging. So what they're doing is for customers, they're offering a FOBAP six-pack that is $60. and it'll include a tote bag and a tasting glass, and it'll include six beers. Well, it's a six pack, so six packs include six beers.
Yeah. No. So this is what we kind of were wanting, right? We kind of were like, they need to give away to have you have some of these beers, and it needs to be random. And as I said, it's random.
Yeah.
But I still don't know who is canning these beers.
I think none of us know. So the caveat is that the six pack you get will just be a random six pack of the 12 styles, right?
One from each style.
Yeah, it'll be a mix of the styles.
Which kind of sucks.
I mean,
I don't want a Perry.
You know?
Like, right? Like, there's things that, like, I don't want. I don't go to FOBAB to necessarily try all the styles. I go to try the breweries I haven't heard of or the styles I like, right?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, well, at FOBAB, you know, if me and you bought, it would be $120 if we bought six packs, right? So
you're buying $10 a beer.
But then if we bought a ticket, you could try any beer you want at FOBAB, you know?
Right, like, do I want, I don't know. I can't even think of a beer that would not be enjoyable. Like,
You buy this thing, and you'll fuck around and get nothing against Tighthead, but you know you're gonna get Tighthead, you're gonna get 1090, you're gonna get Buffalo Creek,
Ballast Point, Goose Island.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna get, and then like you won't get any sours. Like, I'd like to know what's going on in the sour room. I don't necessarily want a sour from a crew that, you know, like, I like 18th Street sometimes. I for sure don't want their sour, right?
Right, and I like...
They had a sour modeled after a fucking everything bagel at 1 year.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll fuck around and get that, and it's like whole 12 ounces of this shit? That's what we're doing?
And I enjoy almost all of off-color beers, but I don't necessarily need a 12 ounce of one of their sours. Like, they are good. I'm down for a taste.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm good.
Yeah, so.
I think we said we needed little buddy style cans.
First of all, yeah, you needed that. And then, you know, the FOBAB component never had a retail beer piece to it when you went in person. It never had that. You could get merch, you know, but it never had a retail piece for packaged beer at FOBAB that you could take home.
Right.
So. We were kind of saying, like, hey, you need to have that because we understand what's going on. And then you just need to have a festival and then just have, like, little mini fest.
50 people.
The way Microphone does their festivals, they invite 50 people and they have sessions. You do that, and then you offer a retail piece, a package piece for the beer, and then that's how you celebrate FOBAB. Just do it in a space that's big enough to get busy. So...
But if you people often you would always go to FOBAB with at least one other person, right?
Yeah.
Always. You don't go to any festival alone because it kind of sucks. Even when we go, it's kind of like you end up like hanging around for a little bit until someone like you know, like, oh hey, all right. So it's really not a lot of fun unless you know someone there. So you got two people, so you would both want to get this six pack. You need to hope that you both get six different beers, because if you get any of the same beers, that sucks a lot.
I mean, and there were 300 beers, so
right, the chances of you not getting the same are pretty good. So you get together with a couple friends, maybe you're like your social bubble that might have gone to this, you all would spend $60 to go anyway. You might as well all get the six pack and have a mini FOBAB at your house, and also bring maybe a couple beers from your cellar or things you've been holding on to.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it. You have to do tasting. I don't want to buy this alone and sit on six FOBAB beers to not share with people.
And, you know, the Guild is a nonprofit, and this is their probably their biggest event, right? So I don't know if we're for sure not discouraging, like, participating, because
you should
do this. You get this if there's you get the six pack, you get a glass, you get a T-shirt, You get a faux bat face mask.
Right. But I'm saying you need to do this with somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, we all have people that we're hanging out with COVID happening, that were like, okay, whatever. Or Thanksgiving will be coming up. These are canned beers. Do it there. Take them to your family. Share. FOBEB is meant to be like experience with people. So get them and share them with everyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not meant to have a 12 ounce of some cotton candy sour ale with everything bagel flakes at it.
Aged on everything bagel.
Oh yeah, it's got to be aged in, yeah, aged in bagel wood.
You know, there's,
you know, some... I don't want 12 ounces of that, but I will try it.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's more work involved. Like, if you're a nonprofit, right, there's more work involved to take orders on what people want. I'm not saying take orders. If I go to, first thing I notice at restaurants, if I sit on the patio, if I want to sit on the patio, there's a set. There's not the full menu. It's just like, this is the patio menu, right? You got these six things. I mean, you know, I know that's more work than what they offer, but it's FOBAB. So whatever, right? You should give, I should be able to pick.
It would be from, fun if they're like
three different, at least yeah. regions at least, right?
Yeah, or so $60 is the six pack of, or 12 pack, right?
It's a six pack.
Oh, a six pack.
12 styles.
12 styles, so six pack. Maybe there's a $65 or $70 where you pick. Like, I want these three styles. Like, style, style, style. And just, like, little check boxes.
And it's a festival. And, you know, silver, bronze, and gold are the winners. And we were saying in the post game last week, there needs to be an ultra-premium offering.
Right.
Right? And, you know, and some breweries adopt that, right? Some breweries have fuck you prices for some of their things. I think Floyd's came to mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because you got to...
But someone's going to bite on that fuck you price.
There's a lot of people that don't like sours.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like them. And they will not want them and are not happy when they get them.
Yeah.
Or think of Apple Beer Chick. She does not like porters. She's not going to want... What if she got two porters in her six pack? So
I mean, so if you know, to pay a little extra to customize your six pack, I think makes a lot of sense.
75.
Only because this is the premier event in the third largest city in the fucking country. This is the biggest, most important event in our city for fucking beer.
Yeah.
So if you don't go out of your way for this, if you don't go out of your way for shit else, you should go out of your way for this. Yeah.
So I like that they're offering the beer for you to try. I didn't think they were going to do that. Just, it seemed ridiculous. I still don't know who's canning it.
Hailstorm. It sounds like, right?
Are they canning it? So everyone sends kegs, and they're like crawler canning them style? How are they canning these beers? That's what I don't understand.
Well, it did say the judging is at Hailstorm, and right. The pickup for the cans is at Hailstorm. But that's all it said. I'm speculating to say that Hailstorm's canning all this shit. That's, I don't know. It doesn't say that.
Is there like a new rule that to be judged, you also have to have a canned version? Like, rather than sending a keg, you have to send 100 cans?
That's why this is problematic, because entries that just came in kegs won't be eligible for packaging. Right. Right, won't be eligible for the can. Like, and we don't know what the fuck.
You're not going to have Dark Lord Henna in cans. Like, that doesn't, that's not even a thing. And if it did exist, that beer's going for like, what, $300 in a can? Like, the aftermarket's gonna be ridiculous, right?
Who was it? The crew that we like from the far north. They're good too.
Crystal Lake?
Yeah. So Crystal Lake was saying they were concerned about sending this beer in cans, right? Because it was from the previous year, so it sat in cans for a while, and they won with this beer that sat in cans. So, you know, you're not. I think it sounds like you're only gonna get beer from people who package anyway. Like, you won't get beer. You're not even eligible to get beer from a crew that didn't submit it as a can. But not everybody's doing it. I assume that most people that submit to FOBAB, you know, Jester King's gonna give you a fucking a bottle with a cork and cage.
So if they win, did they give cans to the judges?
Yeah, they gave the bottles. Because how when you go to FOBAB, some just have the ice bath with the bottles that they're pouring.
I can't get a can of Jester King then?
You can, But I'm saying the crews that just poured, that just brought kegs, you're not. That's out when it comes to this six pack. Mm-hmm. You're only getting crews that.
So is Goose Island gonna keg or can all of their, what do they call it?
Not the Deep Woods, but
the
Black Friday.
Yeah, the Black Friday.
The BCS lineup.
Are they gonna can all of those in 12-ounce cans for people for FOBAB?
It just says six pack. It didn't say it was all the same. Six pack is just six beers. It's got to be, you know.
Right, but I'm just wondering where are the cans coming from, the breweries?
It might not be cans, is what I'm saying. It's just six beers.
Oh, it's right? A six pack. Oh.
They're just calling it a six pack.
Oh, so you might get six cans. You might get, I guess I always think six pack is six cans, but okay.
Right. FOBAB six pack is what they're calling it.
So you could get a bottle of BCS.
You in your six pack.
Before it's even released?
In your six pack, you could get a 12-ounce can, a 16-ounce can, and in Goose's case, a 16.9-ounce bottle. Could be the three of the six in your six pack.
But you could get a Goose beer before it hits the market?
Yeah. Huh. Or if you get a...
That's going to go for so much money.
No, like, you're going to drink it though, right?
If there's going to be a lot of people who are like... I'm going to roll the dice here. I could sell one of the six beers for way more money than I could get now because it's not even out for another
like a month,
15 days.
Yeah. At the party, they don't pour. They pour vintage from bottles.
Yeah.
But the current lineup, they don't pour from bottles.
Right.
So they would be. So you're for sure not getting 20. You're only getting beers that were submitted for the fest.
Right.
For the judging.
For the judging.
Yeah. You're only getting beers that were submitted for the judging. Mm-hmm. And if I'm guessing, I'm going to say that you're only getting beers submitted for the judging that came in packaging already.
Mm-hmm. I got a lot of questions. We should follow up before this show happens and get them to come on. And
I'd love to hear more about this. Because
we just have so many questions about
it. You know, like, it ain't just us. Like, people, people get nerdy about some of these topics. Barrel-aged beers is definitely a topic that people get very granular about wanting to know shit about.
Yeah.
And I don't even think this is granular. I think these are fair questions. It's just based on how this is worded and based on what we've seen at FOBAB, unless Hailstorm is canning beer that was previously in kegs, which we've heard from brewers is something you don't do because it could lead to the beer getting contaminated.
Right.
So if it's already in a keg, you leave it in a fucking keg. You don't take it from a keg to a canning line after you took it off the fucking system.
And then why would a brewery submit a keg to be judged?
Right.
They're just going to send like two cans. Like, I don't even know what they're doing for JBF because usually they send...
No, because you're pouring your beers at JBF too.
Right.
So you're for sure sending kegs.
Even so you're going to, like, a brewery's going to send a $300 keg to GABF for 12 people to judge?
How are beers submitted when they're being judged? I think that's the variable, right? We don't know.
If we don't know that.
How are beers submitted for being judged?
I would have thought it would have been the same way I can have that.
The limited view I have of judging would have been the homebrew shit at the homebrew competition at Beer Hoptacular.
Okay.
All those beers came in bottles or cans. That's the only time I've seen any kind of judging.
Okay, so they have to come in.
They have to come in bottles.
They have to come in bottles.
All the
right?
Judging stuff comes in bottles or cans. All of it.
Man, what if you suck it? Like, your bottling or canning line sucks.
That's
part but your kegging thing is good.
A brewmaster is responsible for it from the production and when it leaves or when it hits the glass. So if you can't. If you're a brewmaster and you have issues with the shit going in the packaging, then, you know, you have issues as a brewmaster, right? Because you're responsible for it until it leaves, right? You're responsible for that vessel that it left in. That's your responsibility.
So Pete's winning all those awards. Someone's, like, rolling up and canning?
No, Pete's just... We need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, I got, like, a lot of questions.
This went to a dark space, but, I mean, the part about how a judge receives these in a competition, a big competition, how a judge receives that beer, what vessel does he receive it in? That's a fair question, and I don't know if I have a definitive answer, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Huh. Because you're right. If it's 20 of us at a judging table, six beers came in cans, and then...
There's a couple in the keg.
There's a couple fucking pony kegs over here. There's some Sixtles over here that came. Maybe.
Do I think differently of the can beer versus the keg beer versus the bottle? Like, I can't... As the judge, you don't want to... You can't... You're judging the beer, so the vessel it came in is going to affect that beer.
But when you are a judge... I think at these things, you're getting a serving platter.
You don't know what's in it.
With cups.
Right.
So there's someone who transferred it from whatever the fuck it came in.
Right. So you don't know what it came in as a judge, which is fine.
As a judge, I don't think you're pouring it. When the party's that big, JBF, FOBAP, the party's that big, I think someone's pouring it. We're at the table. It's eight of us. We got a platter with some numbers on the bottom.
Here's your Belgian pale ales.
Exactly.
All right.
So I think it's that.
But how... Those are definitely different how they came. Like, there probably wasn't 12 bottles or cans.
No. It's a mix. It's got to be.
But someone didn't, like, run to the floor and go, like, fill up a couple cups and, like, come back up. I don't know.
Oh, we don't. Maybe. Deep in. You know, we kind of knew before the leader episode started that it would end up here.
We need like a Steve Hamburg on this. He would know like all the stuff.
I'd like to know more.
He's like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah. No.
It all has to be packaged the same way. Blah blah blah. If I go, all right, that makes sense, Hamburg. Thanks.
Thanks, Stevie. How those Washington Senators doing?
Because somebody's listening and be like, you morons, man. They just packaged that beer that they're gonna submit.
Yeah. We definitely took the scenic route with that one. But that's FOBAB. FOBAB Reimagined, they're calling it.
Mm-hmm. I'm still interested in the Dark Lord variants, the things you would only ever see in large format bottles. Would those be included?
In your six pack.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to know that too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. I'm almost done with it. You finished both of yours?
I got a fourth of the one.
Oh, you still got more there.
Oh, man. All right.
All right. I'm almost done here. We had one more thing to talk about. We had... we did have this microphone thing, but we had another thing.
Yeah. You want to talk about Black Friday?
Oh, yeah. Black Friday, yeah.
All right, so...
On the fest and distribution of ridiculousness.
You know, Goose Island Prop Day 2020. All right. This sounds pretty good. So, Prop Day... Well, Prop... Let's set the tone. Prop is the Chicago-only version of Bourbon County Stout every year. And every year, the recipe changes. Right.
Usually, there's a Prop Day at the Fulton... Brewery, you pick up some beers, you can try stuff, sometimes a tasting afterwards or somewhere else, blah, yeah. Blah, blah. So,
and usually if you have to win a lottery to get a ticket, and then if you win the ticket, you have the option to buy a full lineup of whatever they're selling, but then usually you get a preview of the whole Bourbon County lineup of that year on draft. That's usually how Prop Day works. I didn't go last year. I wasn't fucking invited. But that's a different story.
I wasn't invited. Yeah. I've never been invited.
So Prop Day this year won't be at Fulton. Prop Day will be at the United Center.
Huh. Yeah. Okay.
So there's a lottery just like every year. The lottery starts at noon on Tuesday, October 6th, and it'll run through October 12th. You get to submit one submission a day. And then they're going to notify people on October 14th if they won or not. So if you win, that gives you an opportunity to purchase a $130 allotment of beer from Goose Island, Brad.
Okay.
So.
Do you have to buy that allotment?
You do not.
Okay.
Cause I think you can just show up and rock. Well.
Previous Prop Days, you'd be like, I want two.
Yeah.
I want one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a full allotment if we want to hear it. It looks like it's four bottles. $130, four bottles. All right.
It's better than, this is worse than FOBAP. You get six for $60.
You know what you're getting here. So, but,
Get that everything bagel sour.
You get two bottles of prop. God, we're delivering news on this show has always been problematic. You get two bottles of 2020 prop. Let's start there.
Okay.
What do we know about 2020 prop? Oh, this is the Spumoni prop.
Okay.
So this is pistachios, cacao nibs, cherries, and natural vanilla.
Nice.
You know,
that sounds good.
Gotta have that natural vanilla. Yeah,
I don't want the unnatural.
You know, I don't want that unnatural vanilla.
Synthesized vanilla.
All right.
Synthetic.
Spumoni prop. That's what prop day is. You get two bottles of that. You get a bottle of 2020 Bourbon County Special Number 4. Now, I forget which one is Special Number 4. They come out with like 10 fucking versions. I don't know which one is Special Number 4. But then you get a bottle of an exclusive barrel-aged version for Prop Day. That's new.
Oh.
That's it's called 2020 Prop Day's Barrel-Aged Stout.
So that is one they... They're like, we don't need as much prop, so bottle this one.
I hope it's...
We don't need as much kegged prop, so can we bottle more and have another version?
Yeah.
Right? That's what that is.
I hope it's... what's the one? I hope it's Neapolitan. Or something that has always been draft only. Like, an exclusive barrel-aged stout just for this day.
I bet it's just a different...
Give me something
barrel
that,
version. I bet it tastes like Bourbon County.
Give me something that we haven't seen in bottles yet.
It's got that unnatural vanilla in it.
Oh, man. If you put, unless it's got the unnatural vanilla, then you can keep that shit. But the most interesting part, Brad, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 pickup days at United Center.
Okay. That's weird that, or that's, I don't know, it's kind of interesting that they're doing that. It's also kind of weird. Goose Island has a giant place, a warehouse that they could have the pickups at. Why are you doing it at the United Center? What are the dates of it?
November 7th, 8th, 14th, 15th, 22nd, 28th,
29th. So random days. It's not like, even like a...
Twice a week. All month. The whole month of November, like twice a week.
So why do it there and not at the warehouse?
Because the fucking Blackhawks won 3 Stanley Cups at the Madhouse of Madison. You know, MJ won 3 titles there.
Is it so you can roll up? And it's probably an easier place to have, like, cars roll through because you're not going to be able to get out. I bet you're going to be able to, like, roll up to, like, sort of like the Deep Woods thing. You can just roll up and be like, hey, my name is... And like, all right.
And they're referring to it as a curbside, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Windy City Smokeout, it used to be on Grand Avenue at the Chicago Sun-Times building. Or it might be the Trib.
Okay.
Anyway, it's at the United Center now because United Center's got all these parking lots. So when they say the UC, I don't think they're going in. I think they're using the lots across the street.
You're not going in. You're not even going to leave your car.
So there's probably no draft component to this. So this is just kind of like there's more drive-in space at the UC than there would be at the warehouse. There's no rule. There's not as much drive-in space there.
And they could probably just drop it all off there because it's an AB house.
Yeah. And the UC holds 25,000 people, so they have a ton of
And a lot more beer than that.
Yeah. Parking lots, yeah. So it kind of makes sense. So this is close to, I think our idea for FOBAB was do it museum style. We probably talked about it on the show just now. Do it museum exhibit style and just have it for a week and limit the people coming in.
Right, and you section it off for hour one is sours, hour two is Belgian, so you could move across this, but you have it sectioned off either in rooms or areas, so you're following this 50-person thing.
Yeah.
It maybe lasts 4 hours, but you moved across spaces.
Right, and if it's only 50 to you, only 100 of you guys, you can have a full FOBAB experience, you know, mm-hmm. just 100 of you guys.
Yeah, but might spend an hour in the sour room, but maybe that's when you sober up or you come late. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's a bigger project. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But having said that, it should still be that way because it's FOBAB. But, well, hell, the James Beard Awards was last week, and they didn't do shit for the James Beard Awards but make it a DigiFest.
Oh, okay.
So
they didn't have that peanut butter...
Wait, what are you
Oh, is that not the James Beard? That was the...
I'm thinking of the one at the Lyric Opera House, the James Beard.
Oh, I was thinking of... what's his name? He was at the Revolution thing, and he was like, I want that peanut butter...
Brad, what the fuck are you talking about?
Nada, because I was like, horchata.
The Big Eddie? Linakugel makes a killer horchata.
No, Linakugel doesn't. I'm all confused.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that peanut butter Blue Moon.
Okay.
That's not the James Beard. That was our other friend at Revolution was talking about that. The peanut butter Blue Moon.
I tell you, peanut butter Blue Moon is probably good.
Doesn't exist. Does not exist.
Oh, shit. Who is this guy who went off?
That's what I'm saying.
He went
that
off.
That wasn't the James Beard. That was a different. That was a Chicago thing, right?
It was another award show.
Yeah. All
right. Whoa, oh, my God. This guy went off the deep end about this fucking peanut butter Blue Moon on fucking poor Lisa Zimmer.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know how to describe this guy. Yeah.
We were at the Rev thing.
Yeah, the Jameson.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, he knows.
I've seen him at other things. I forget what he does.
Yeah.
He went off.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers, don't tell me there's no peanut butter Blue Moon. Don't you dare.
That's not at the James Beard Awards.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that was. That's funny. I remember that. Yeah, that dude was nuts.
But so what happened to James Beard? And then we should wrap up this because we're almost an hour in.
Come on, Brad. Why you let us do this, man?
That's a stop. We haven't even finished. You have it. Have you finished?
We need you we need you to guide us away from this hour thing.
Till the Stein's gone.
The Stein episode's an hour fine. Right. It is what it is. I think that's it, bud.
What happened to the James Beard Awards happened? What happened at all?
It happened and it was a half hearted all Digifest with presenters dressed up wherever they were, reading from teleprompters. And that was it. There was no in-person component, you know. Shout out to the whiskey folks who at least send each other whiskey in little sample bottles, and they drink it at the same time at least, right?
You got to send people stuff for any festival, any event. Send them things. You have to make an experience. We consume and watch so much video. We have a video version of this. I don't want to go to another fest and watch more video. I'm sitting at this computer or standing at the computer all day. I want something else when I do this.
You know, part of this COVID thing is that a lot of us are never going back to the office, right? I think maybe 30% of people who are work from home now are never going back. But we need more interaction because this is life now.
Right.
You know, and these fests need to start acknowledging that and be more interactive than
here's a bunch of videos or tune in live for me to talk. It's like,
go, yeah, you
I don't care enough. I don't.
You get 10% off at your fucking thing, 10% off at the bar up the road. Great.
I want to spend time with my family or significant others. And so I don't like if you don't have a reason for me to watch this right now, I'm not going to watch it.
If you look at the secondary market on beer or anything else, you know there's a super premium market for just about everything, right? So give us a super premium option at these things, and you'd be surprised how many people show up and say, here's your fucking 500, and give me the whole.
Give me something special.
Yeah, give me the thing. Give me this. Give me the platinum level. Give me the gold medal winning thing.
Because if it's a dollar off Lagertown, I'm not on board.
You know what
I'm
gonna do?
I'm fine paying full price for Lagertown.
I'm going to go find some old pics of my last time at Half Acre, and I'm going to admire those. I'm not going to Half Acre for a dollar off of Lagertown, right? Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's going to do it.
The Stein episode, man.
Two Steins in a row, half liters, and then, well, Nick went 2 half liters.
I still got there.
It's got there.
You know, don't.
It doesn't
don't.
Matter how you. It doesn't matter the journey as long as you get to the destination.
Don't Stein shame me, bro.
So that's gonna do it for this episode. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch if you actually leave the house. How can they find out?
I'm on Twitter at Nicosio. White Sox, spend some money on some goddamn pitching, and let's get them next year.
All right, I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And yeah, no steins next week. We're gonna lay off of them now. Oktoberfest season has come to an end, but you know that barrel aged season is really kicking off here. So we'll need smaller pours for that. And we'll be back with another episode soon. Take care.
Cheers.